Hey, welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio, and with me, as always, is my amazing friend Tyler.
Hey guys, what's up, Grizzly Nation?
Episode 3, Tyler.
We made it.
We made it. You know,
every step of the way, I'm just as surprised as I was the last step.
That's what I'm saying.
This far.
I feel like if we keep doing this, people are going to keep listening, is what I think.
I hope so. I think we got some listeners right now that came from episode 2 and thought, I want some more of that. I'm going to go to 3.
People are literally waiting by the Spotify app for their notifications when we drop them. So it's awesome that you guys are showing up. I just want to thank everybody. This podcast has been one of the coolest things that me and Tyler have ever thought about doing. And so we just want to thank you guys that are out there. Tyler's going to thank some of our Patreon supporters.
Yes. Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters. We have people coming back and sticking with us. Same supporters we had before, but we do have a new person, so we gotta shout out our friend Phil.
Phil
coming through,
dude.
Supporting on Patreon. Phil is a longtime friend of mine, really good friend of mine, drummer in Atlas Arrows.
Man, plug that Atlas Arrows real quick, because I don't know if people know that our intro music is actually your band.
Well, I feel a little weird. You know, just plug in my own thing. But so Atlas Arrows is the band that I've kind of been a part of for a long time. The intro music is a remix of one of our songs. So, you know, it just fit, you know, it just felt right. So.
It really did. Listen, we definitely are grateful to Tyler and his band. They let us use the intro music and it's awesome. And not only that, but if you like the intro music and want to hear the full song, if you go to our show notes, you'll be able to download that song for absolutely free as a gift from Atlas Arrows and Graceful Grizzly. So seriously, go down there, download it, get it in your headphones.
Yeah, there's a whole remix album on there for free. And actually, I think there might be other albums on there for free or name your own price as well.
Christmas.
So listen, guys, you know what I mean? Like, we don't expect anything from you, but if you want some of that, you know, just go grab it. I think it's free, so.
You know what else is free?
What else is free, Mauricio?
Our holiday gift guide.
Oh my gosh, you're not charging for it?
No, we're giving away for free via email. All you have to do is give us your email. We promise not to spam you like we said last week. And you get a holiday gift guide. And I was looking through it, man. There are some cool companies on there. We've got coffee companies, knife companies. We've got so many different places that have contributed to this list. It is awesome. So please just go online, go on our website and join the Grizzly fam. And we're going to send you this holiday gift guide. Black Friday is coming, man.
Oh, you need to get those gifts in, man. Because it's going to sneak up too. That's the thing. Yeah, that Christmas shopping or, you know, shopping for the holidays, that stuff sneaks up on you.
Dude, I would go to Walmart. And I think going to Walmart on Black Friday is an extreme sport. Honestly, if you go to Walmart on Black Friday, you better wear a helmet.
Yeah.
And you better be ready to throw some elbows, I think.
Dude, it gets wild, man.
Yeah, dude.
There's people, some craziness out there.
Over a flat screen TV.
Right? For like $100 cheaper than it was.
And then you can do the same deals on Cyber Monday, which is crazy to me.
It's pretty much, I mean, more or less, it's like Black November these days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? Like, yeah, I mean, the sales keep getting earlier. They keep going longer. And I think at a certain point, it's not even going to really be that special because it's going to be like September. And we're going to be like, yeah, black sales started
black,
now.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it for half the year this year.
Oh my gosh. No, man. I don't think I can handle the purge when it comes to the sales that happens in that whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Man.
Yeah, so hit the website and just scroll down and there's a little banner that says, you know, want to get your gift guide. All you got to do is just put your email in there and then we'll keep you updated with things that we're doing, exciting things, and whenever we release new episodes and stuff like that. So we definitely aren't going to spam you guys, but grab that gift guide, man. It's pretty cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. So we got some shout outs. Just want to shout out the usual suspects when it comes to Instagram. You guys are awesome. Every person that's been on there. We want to give a shout out to Humor Us Podcast. They have been awesome. And we were able to send them a Graceful Grizzly sticker. So they got that recently. I want to shout out Gabby the Musical. That's her name on Instagram. She's awesome. She's one of our supporters. She's been going on and listening to about every episode. and it's awesome to have people just listen to it. A lot of people said they listen to it while they're working out. A lot of people said they're listening to it while they're drawing or working on their drives. You know, delivery people listen to them. So, man, we're just so excited that you guys are actually bringing us into your radio or, you know, whatever.
Do people use radios?
I was thinking like 8-track players is what we're going back to.
That was what I was imagining most people would play it on. I think there's a statistic for that. We can look up the stats on what
8-track players, CDs, vinyls. We're going to come to vinyl coming in 2020.
80% 8-tracks right now and a few people using cassettes at this point.
Oh gosh, do you guys remember cassettes out there? Cassettes. You remember how to rewind them? You get the pencil, you put it in there.
Just the worst. You had
the back in the day, dude. That's like, oh gosh. So,
hey, dude. That's awesome. Thanks again to the Instagram family. You guys are amazing. Let us know where you listen to our podcast and what you're doing while you listen. I'm always interested to know that kind of thing.
Dude, I'm excited for nightly news, man. What you got, Tyler?
Yeah, let's head right in. Why don't we?
Oh, gosh.
All right. So, the first one I have. University accepts peanut butter and jelly as payment for parking tickets.
Some people may think we're making these news articles up. And we're not. Okay. We scour the internet looking for positive, amazing news articles.
Check the show notes. I mean, there's proof.
there's links to them. This is awesome. I think that we need to start helping out our students. How many of you guys out there have college debt?
Oh my gosh. I have enough for all of us.
Dude, I was able, thankfully, to pay off our college debt last year, but it's brutal, man. If you have college debt out there, sorry, you know.
You know, this kind of payment system would have been perfect for me because I kept thinking about it. How many parking tickets did I get? A lot.
Mm-hmm.
How much peanut butter did I have in my apartment? A lot.
It's so cheap, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said if you bring in a sealed peanut butter, 16 ounces, $10 credit off your parking ticket.
Dude. I mean,
not bad, right? Three jars,
yeah.
$35 credit.
Now, I didn't go to a traditional college, so I didn't really have what I feel like is the college experience.
Sure.
Did you like stay on campus and stuff? And like,
I did. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So here's what I did. I went to community college for my first 2 years.
Smart.
Yeah, definitely a recommendation for you. Those of you out there that haven't gone to college yet, if you're even the slightest bit unsure about what you want to do, definitely consider community college because it's so cheap. Mm-hmm. And you learn a bunch about yourself, about what you want to do during that time, and then you save a bunch of money and get a bunch of courses out of the way.
Mm,
a nice. Plus.
Cool.
And then I transferred, and that's how I got to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I moved, and I transferred to Messiah College.
Shout out to Messiah.
Yeah, shout out to our Messiah listeners. I know we have some.
We do.
So that was where I did my three more years and finished my degree there. So I did get the college experience, but I also got the community college experience, which is like something like like nothing else. The community college experience is amazing.
Dude.
If you've ever seen that show Community or you've ever...
Oh my gosh. Dude. No, I haven't, but I heard it is hilarious.
It's a funny place.
Yeah.
You learn a lot and you learn a lot about life and, and people, you know?
Yeah.
You get out of your little bubble and you kind of like meet these people from your community and you're like, wow. Dude,
I did do 1 year in community college before I did EMT school.
Yeah.
And it was definitely different because it was like a lot of liberty. It was a lot of freedom. Like, hey, you go to class, this is your schedule, you know, whatever, whatever. It was just like, man, this is crazy. Fresh out of high school, just, you know, barely made it into Miami-Dade Community College. Yay. Shout out to the Sharks.
Yeah.
You guys did not graduate from there, but, you know, it was cool using your book fund for snacks.
That's,
you know, like
thing
that book,
about
the
it.
Book advance.
Yeah.
Definitely use that for Doritos.
That's the craziest thing about community college is that everybody's there, but everybody knows it's so cheap. And so, like, you get these people that show up to campus, they like drive to campus and then they just like skip class all day. And it's like, why'd you even come here?
Why did you even come to college?
Why did you just stay at your house? Like,
dude,
it's so funny, man.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to go back to school, but at this point, it's kind of like,
Is that what I want to do?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do it, but I'm definitely, you know, for everybody that's in college and you go to this particular college, you better buy some peanut butter beforehand.
Dude, do it. Hey, listen, honestly, my honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I think people need to think a little bit more before they go to college.
Because
I don't think college is always the answer.
I don't think so either. I think a lot of people are now starting to realize that and say, okay, let's figure out trades.
Yeah.
You know, let me go to a trade school. Let me be a welder. Let me be, you know, a plumber. Let me be, you know, a raccoon catcher, pest control. I don't know if there's a college for that, but
dude,
there might be.
Well, even like technical fields. Mm-hmm. So I do graphic design full time now.
Right.
I'm completely self-taught. I didn't go to school for that.
Yep.
And I've read on, you know, read blogs, articles, like I've talked to people. Mm-hmm. And for people that do say like web development, it's like 90% of the people you meet in that field taught themselves how to do it. There's no degree. I mean, there may be somewhere, but there's no degree for web development. It's there just you be, are someone that's driven and you want to learn and you, you teach yourself because you're excited about it. So guys, find the thing you're excited about.
Do it. Yeah, there needs to definitely be a push for more self-teaching, more classes online that can teach you practical stuff. So,
for sure.
We will do Grizzly University. No, we won't.
Coming 2020.
No, not 2020. We don't have any time.
We'll throw up a course.
Oh, there you go.
10-minute YouTube course. Yeah,
podcasting. Oh, man.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, listen, I got another one, and this one's definitely positive. Mm. And just says something about our society.
Dude.
In a good way.
Yeah. I love this one.
There is a campaign being launched to find an emoji for forgiveness.
What? We do have, and I'll be honest, we do have a lot of emojis. I was scrolling through. They say the way to know a person is to look at their recent emojis. little thing on on your phone. Yeah. So depending on the kind of person you are, your recent emojis will tell you, like, what do you usually use?
That's you can who learn you are. A lot about
absolutely.
A person.
So, yeah, mine is mainly the bear symbol and headphone symbol.
Right.
Because if you've ever gotten a thank you message from me, it's going to have the bear symbol and the little fire symbol. I use that one, too.
You got to.
Dude.
You got to. You know, I just thought it was interesting. I started thinking about, like, how emojis.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how emojis are kind of like a joke. And then you realize, like, it's actually a real, like, a substantial part of our language.
And communication, yep.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah. I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, I communicate more with a fire emoji than I would if I typed out, hey, this is, you know, super cool, and it's lit, and it's awesome. I just spoke millennial for the first time on our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, so, because I am fluent in that.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Not so much me. Mauricio's got it down.
Listen, there's certain words that you just, you know, people my age shouldn't use, but we use anyway, you know, so I think it's lit. But there's definitely an entire language to emojis, so I agree with you on that, man.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's something I think it'd be interesting to look into what other like expressions exist that we need emojis for.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz I never even thought about the fact that we need one for forgiveness.
Dude, it's
but it kind of makes
and
sense.
We do it all the time, hopefully. You know, there's a lot of times where we need an emoji for you get, you know, a really weird text from a spouse, you know, and then you guys get into a heated text argument, which is rough because you can't really tell tones. I think that's one of the things the emoji helped with is that you couldn't really, see the tones when you're texting somebody. You're like, if somebody says, that's fine, period.
Oh, that could mean so many
right?
things.
Like, my brain will go like,
you hate me.
Is it fine? Is it for real? Like, are you mad? Are you not mad?
She wants a divorce. I know it.
That's it. You know, then you go on Google and you're like, what does that's fine mean? You know, so listen, the emojis helped out. But yeah, forgiveness.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. And I was reading an article and it's kind of cool that they're actually looking for an emoji for forgiveness. You know?
It is. It's also cool how they have, there's a whole process, which I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, you know, there's an actual sort of like encyclopedia of emojis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, you know, our dictionary, like the English dictionary or something. It's like there's a dictionary for emojis. What? And like it's becoming like there's a whole process. There's a whole like committee that manages what's officially in, you know,
an emoji committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see, you know, like when this emoji committee introduces a new emoji for forgiveness, let's say, then there's all these different platforms that have to adopt it and make their own version of it. So then Apple has to make theirs. And you know what I mean? Like Windows 10 has to make theirs. And it's just interesting.
Dude, that's crazy. And specifically on this article too, I went to the little vote, like that you can vote for your emojis, like pick one. And I was like, some of these are kind of cool. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a hyperlink, too, that you can click on. And it's kind of like, it's hidden, though. I forget. Maybe it's in the top thing. But it's definitely crazy that you're able to, like, pick an emoji. And some of these emojis are crazy looking. They really took their time to design it. One of them is actually a heart with Band-Aids on them.
That kinda is like so creative.
Your heart was broken, and then somebody puts a Band-Aid.
I actually really like that. Do you like that one? I like that one.
There's more, though. Keep looking at it. So this next one, man, it's a person holding a heart. You know, then there's one with a branch. That one, I think, is the most voted. It's a heart, and it's got two people, like, grasping hands. Like
doing, like, a bro shake like type, like, just... Just like gripping each other's hands, like, you know, like, we're cool, man.
We're good. We got this.
We're cool.
You know, so.
Like, I forgive you.
Yeah, dude. You know, thanks for eating my sandwich in the office, Larry. I can't stand you, you know, but I'm going to forgive you because, you know, I love Jesus. But yeah, man, that's.
In this other hand, though, that you can't see is he's holding a knife.
So. Oh, gosh. It's out of frame. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. I think all of these are super cool. People got really creative with, trying to, what does forgiveness look like? Which I think would be another great topic to talk about eventually. What does forgiveness look like? Can it be formulated in just an emoji?
I like that. Cause that's an interest, you know, even being a designer and you know, you do graphic design too. And like
a little bit,
you have to think about like with iconography, they call it, or just with icons, you know, creating the simplest version of something that still tells the whole picture.
Yes.
You know, so I know when I see a little A with an underline, that means that if I use that, then it's going to underline text. Or if I see a little pencil, that means I'm going to edit something, you know? And so it's so cool to see how emojis are like that. Like if you see a heart, like how do you portray forgiveness in such a simple little illustration that's just so tiny, little tiny little
thing?
Yeah,
it's just, yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool.
I think, yeah, how do you, you know, but that's part of the reason why you get paid for design is because you can formulate that small little idea. And I love minimalism. I love the idea of like being able to something clean and purposeful that like represents something. I think that that's such a cool concept, man.
Just eases your anxiety when you can look at something and you clean it up and it's like, you know, oh, this brochure used to be so flooded with so many different types of texts and words, and we just cleaned it up, and I can read. You ever gone to a restaurant and you got a menu and you're just completely overwhelmed?
Yes,
because there's just so many options and it's not laid out well. Like,
yeah,
I'm nerding out a little bit here, but that's what I love about design.
You can simplify it, yeah, dude.
Oh man, so as the world expands and. We take on new language. We also take on new technology.
Oh, gosh. What do we got, Tyler?
So now we're looking at touch screens that fold.
Oh.
Specifically, Samsung's Galaxy Fold that is recently released. What do you think of this, man?
Man, so I was looking at the design. I was watching a couple YouTube videos. This is a phone that actually folds in half, and it's able to become a tablet. I was watching a video of a guy, he's called Jerry Rig Everything, and he's kind of like a reviewer for technology and stuff, and he put this thing through the ringer. He buys really expensive phones and then tries to destroy them, basically, you know? And so he bought this one, and he was scratching it, he was doing all this stuff, and he was putting sand in it, you know, and trying to just like figure out how to break it or whatever. My thing is like, Tyler, do we need foldable phones? I don't know.
Well,
you know, like
I seem to recall a time when we had foldable
phones. Oh, you're talking about the flip phone.
And that went out of style.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's funny. It's like history repeats itself.
I know,
it's
man.
Like, well, we did the smart screen thing. What do we do now? Well, let's make it fold.
You remember the Motorola Razr?
Oh, dude. That was the coolest
status symbol of 2000. That was like if you had a Razr, bro.
Oh, that was the coolest.
You were like...
Yeah. And then there was just the knockoff type Razr. You know, there's all those other phones that were just not quite as cool.
Dude,
not quite as thin.
They used to have this Nokia brick. It was like blue and it had big buttons.
Yeah.
It was just like... It was like a solid, like... It was thick.
Was it called the brick?
No, it wasn't called the brick. It was called like the Nokia brick. Now,
I was like, that's so unattractive.
I'm pretty sure that you can hold up a full, like... sports utility vehicle with the actual phone because it was
thick.
Yeah,
those phones, man. I used to like drop my flip phone. It's like kick it down the hall.
Yeah,
and it's fine. Yeah, and I was like, it didn't even matter.
Now they're precious. Now it's like if you have the new iPhone 62, you cannot, you know, like break it or hurt it, and you got to buy like a case for it. Like I'm sure people take care of their phones more than their children at this point because like it's like no, all my social stuff is on there.
It's like, oh, I bought a, you know, $75 case for my phone, but like my kid like wants new shoes and I'm like, nah, just use the same ones.
You're fine. You're all right. You know, you'll be now smile for the selfie.
It's yeah.
You're not gonna use the phone to take a picture. Yeah. So
let's take a picture of those old shoes.
I don't know, man. Foldable phones. I'm not sold on them yet. I just don't think we need them. It doesn't get the grizzly seal of approval for me because I don't think we need a foldable phone. I think we're cool with our, you know, maybe make them bigger. I don't know. How big can you be? And then like, at what point does it become a tablet that you have in your back pocket? Well,
that's the thing is that we keep going back and forth about what we want. And I think that's just, it's like a novelty thing because we've been alive now long enough to see how everybody wanted smaller and smaller phones.
Yes.
And now then they started getting bigger and everybody wants a big screen.
Yeah.
And now it's like, is that going to change? Is that going to go back? Do we want flip phones now? What do we want? I don't know.
We should bring back the Sidekicks. You remember the Sidekicks?
Oh, those are so cool. Yeah.
Dude, it's like bro. Dude, that was like, if you had that, you just go up to a person, you go up to a lady friend and be like, hey.
Enough said.
Put your number in there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it had the little rolly ball on the side. Man.
You know what I always wanted? What? I thought it was so cool when I saw commercials and stuff. It was like that chirp thing.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Where you at?
Yo, where you at?
Yeah. Oh, man. Back in the day, dude. That chirp thing was like legit. Like you thought, I think it was Boost Mobile. Was it Boost?
Yeah, it might have been Boost.
I think it was Boost Mobile. Right. And they also had Nextel, which was for construction workers originally, and then everybody got it. And then
interesting.
Dude. So yeah, technology is definitely changing, man. I think we don't know what's next. I'm pretty sure holograms are next at one point. We're just gonna see holograms everywhere and we're gonna be like, oh well.
It's cool. Not that far off, I bet.
Dude, next time you go to McDonald's. Somebody's gonna be there as a hologram.
What about that? I mean, honestly, they're already. You go to Weiss or whatever. You go to like grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. It's like we pretty much always do self checkout now.
Yeah,
you know, you hardly ever have to actually talk to a person anymore. It's crazy.
Except that one lady that's always there with the card, waiting for you to mess up, and then she comes up and then says, "All right, let me help you out here, son."
See, I don't mind that. What I don't like is when there's no one around and then the machine starts acting up, and you're like, oh, "Excuse me."
Especially at Walmart. I feel like no one works at Walmart, really.
No, they don't really.
People just walk in and they give you a yellow vest. Hey, walk around here for a while and pretend like you're an employee. I can never find anyone. I'm like, I'm in the bread aisle. I'm like, oh, I can't find
TVs. Why are there not TVs in the bread aisle?
Dude,
I'm sorry. Come on, Walmart.
Seriously. So, foldable phones, no. Walmart employees, yes.
Walmart employees, big yes. Yep. Our Walmart? Not so
our Walmart
big.
Is basically the highlight of our town. I think people go there to feel like they're alive, you know. That's what Walmart
sometimes
for.
It's you know late at night, you don't have anything to do. It's the only place
don't ever
open.
Go to Walmart after 11. I'm talking to all of you. You want to end up on those true crime podcasts? Don't do it
if you want a thrill.
if you want to live dangerously, go to Walmart.
Dude, awesome. Well, let's move on to quick questions. What do you
say? Quick questions.
All right. So this is a cool one.
All right.
Who was your favorite teacher in school and why?
Oh, man. This was so easy. Honestly.
Me too.
Seriously. I think we all have our favorite teacher. And I'm like, so her name was Miss Bellamy. She was my English teacher. Awesome lady. And she always encouraged me every single time we would do any kind of like, do you remember jump in reading?
Is that the one where you like throw the ball and someone else reads?
Yeah, kind of like that. Or anytime we read The Crucible, and she would always give me the main person's part, you know, and be like, okay, you're going to read. I know.
She believed in you.
Dude, she really did. And she's probably the reason why I fell in love with reading and books and all that other stuff, because I feel like it was very, she was just such a cool lady and she wouldn't ever like give me issues and she would push me in certain areas that I knew I needed to be pushed, you know, like, you know, coming late to class never was a problem for me, but like maybe paying attention for a long time was, because I just wanted to read or I just wanted to, you know, and she would always put me in situations where I could shine. And I appreciated that about Miss Bellamy. She was awesome. And I couldn't stand her in the beginning of the year. I feel like that's with all teachers. Like sometimes you're just like, oh, this lady, I can't. And then as the year went on, I noticed that she actually did care about me reading, and my love for literature grew, because she would just say, hey, you should read this book. And I would read it and it would be like, oh man, this really is, you know, like awesome to have somebody invest time in you. So yeah, she's awesome. I really do miss her class only because she was so, just so smart. She had so many good ideas about like, racial inequality and different things that were just like, you know, beyond her time basically. And she was like one of my favorite teachers ever.
That's so cool, man. Like, good teachers, like that's like it's such hard, underrated profession too. Like, you know, we have a friend from church that that was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, depending on the school district you go to, like a lot of school districts don't have a lot of money and stuff. Like, they were expected to like pay for stuff out of their own pocket for their classroom, you know? And it's like,
it's crazy the way they treat teachers.
Yeah, man.
You wouldn't know how to count. You wouldn't even know how much to charge that teacher if you didn't have a teacher.
Right, you know,
it's like, come on, figure it out, we guys. Gotta,
oh, man, that's a big thing. Like, we need to, like, we need to really appreciate those, the people in our, you know, the professions in our society that are, like, doing such important work, but they're just really under, you know, underpaid or underrated, you know?
Like, they're foundational.
That's
like,
so
they
important.
Build your foundation so that you can become a doctor or can become a nurse or can become graphic design. Oh, yeah. Like, they, if you don't know how to read and write, I mean, dude, it's rough right now.
Yeah, and they guide you through the day, like even like social issues and stuff. Like they, they're the ones that are teaching you how to interact and stuff like appropriately and how to like what to say and what not to say. Like that's, man, I got a lot of respect for teachers.
Yeah, man.
But
who's
like,
your favorite?
Yeah, my favorite, like you, it just it came to mind like super fast. I didn't even have to think about it.
Right.
But it was Mr. Rounds.
Ooh.
He was, what grade did you say yours was?
That was, let me see, let me think here. I think that was 11th or 12th grade. One of the
okay, so later. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rounds was my third grade teacher.
Oh.
And the dude was the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone in class just loved him. Like, everything he taught us, like, he didn't just teach it, like, like bare minimum. It was like he, everything was just so interesting. And he was like, I don't know that he lived on a farm, but, like, he, like, was just very... had a lot of knowledge of the earth and animals,
agriculture,
and like all that sort of stuff. Dude. And so he would bring animals into class. Like I remember one class I got to like hold a baby chick while we were doing story time.
What?
It was dude. And like as a third grade kid, you're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. You know?
And then he let me take him home for like the night to like take care of him. Like he just trusted the kids to like do the right thing. And he really, like you said, like he believed in us and just like pushed us to always do our best, but like was just so fun. Like he made learning and school so fun.
Yeah.
And I think that that was like the coolest thing.
Mm-hmm. Man.
I remember he took us out outside of the school and we went and like looked for like snakes and stuff.
Oh.
Which is crazy thinking about it now because a lot of people are afraid of snakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you that me and I know like several of other of the people that I had that class with, like we were never afraid of snakes.
Wow.
But it's because we were third graders and our teacher was saying, oh no, don't, you know, and also you gotta be smart.
Well, yeah.
But like he taught us the way to be smart and he would like teach us how, like if you have to pick up a snake, here's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so cool, man.
I feel like there's a lot more fear when it comes to not having knowledge of something. Like if there, a good teacher will teach you why not to be scared.
You know,
and like kind of fill your head with the gaps of like, okay, a snake is scary because in the dark it slithers, whatever. But if you understand why it does or that naturalistically this is a corn snake, it's not going to kill you. Like all that knowledge helps your third grade brain like, oh, okay, so snakes are part of the earth and they make sense and they this is their ecosystem. So I can totally get like how knowing about snakes make you less scared of snakes, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because you're at that age where you don't know yet what to think. And that's what a good teacher, I think, can do is like, you know that these like kids are like sort of impressionable and stuff, but you're not like you're like using that in like a way to like build them up into better people and like eliminate that unnecessary fear and it's so cool. But
yeah, now I did not have that teacher, so if a snake does come into this apartment, I'm not gonna run. Listen. But I'm also gonna be like, oh, this is, but I also grew up near, you know, my grandmother had a farm, so like I did grow up around all these animals, so like there's that part of it. The one thing I still don't like till this day is spiders, man. There's no teacher in the world that's gonna tell me spider, like,
I mean, I'm not necessarily happy when a snake slithers through my feet.
Come here, snake.
But
get out of here. What are you doing?
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
I hear you.
The snakes are, they're kind of funky, man. I'm telling you.
Well, I feel like Miami, too. Like, you probably had some dangerous snakes down there.
Florida is the Australia of America, is what I tell people.
Yeah.
Florida is crazy. We have gators, and they're kind of everywhere. So, yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. So, all right. Well, let's move on to the next one then. What is a fictional hero that you look up to?
Oh, man. Fictional hero. Let me think here. I don't know, dude. I feel like video games. Do video games count?
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Listen. Link from Zelda, man. Link from Zelda.
That's a good one.
He is, you know, I grew up playing Zelda probably more than any normal child should. I think we, you know, my aunt got involved too, and she would play, and we'd buy the official game guide from the GameStop and like look at the different things and stuff and how to beat each level or whatever. So we were serious about it, and that was back in the day when you had N64.
Oh, one of the best,
dude. Still, for me, I would get an N64. I think they're like $60 on eBay right now.
Oh,
just to play Zelda one more time and listen to the intro music just one more time.
Just one more chance.
Yeah. But I loved the idea of Link being a hero, and the fact that he was always constantly, and it was never really about him. He was just an average kid, and it was always about him having to do these grand feats of, you know, courageousness. And I think he embodied everything I wanted to be when I was younger. You know, somebody that's like selfless, that wants to, you know, save people, that wants to be involved. He would go to different communities and hang out with them, and you know, it was just like one of those things where I'm like, man, this guy. And he was always making friends everywhere he went, and those friends helped him get to the next quest. So I think that I saw a lot of myself in him, and I looked up to him when I was little, because I was like, I want to be like him. And the fact that I got to play Zelda and be him for, you know, however long we had those games was awesome, because it was a connection point for me, and it kind of was a pivotal part in building my personality when I was growing up. So yeah, that's definitely somebody I look up to still. That's not real. Or are they?
Right? Yeah.
No, they're probably. I don't know.
Just some really good cosplayers out there. That's
dude,
all.
Dude, they're out there, right? And they look like him, and it freaks me out. It really does.
The cool thing I think about like Link and characters like him, especially in video games, I think a lot of times like you can sort of, because he has a limited, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not like a huge Zelda guy.
Yeah.
He has sort of like a limited personality. Like he doesn't talk a whole lot.
No.
But you can see his actions through the game as you progress.
Yes.
And you can sort of project your personality into him. Like, I can be, you know, Link can be who I am. Like, I can be like Link, because he's not like a very strong personality on his own.
I think
like,
they did that on purpose,
too. Right?
I feel like a lot of video games, they do. Now, granted, nowadays you have like Skyrim, you know, like some of the video games now are just like, whoa, like they're world builders, you know?
Yeah, and some of them have very strong protagonists, like with their own personality that you might not relate with.
Yes.
So you're stepping into their shoes.
Yeah, and you're pretending to be them. So I feel like maybe even so, and now that we're thinking about it, which is really interesting, video games back in our day were more acceptable in the sense of, and this is me just being old, but they were more open to our personalities being involved in the video game. Nowadays, it's almost like you have to hide behind a strong character because of maybe a lack of self-esteem or lack of whatever. So it's almost like you have to, you know, have a stronger character, because now you have to kind of be embodied in them, you know? And I think that it's awesome that we grew up in a time where, you know, you really just had what, like Pac-Man, you had Zelda, you had Crash Bandicoot, you had all these video games.
Even that were, like the Mario games, you know, like Mario.
He's a plumber.
He's a plumber and he doesn't really talk much. Like you're just kind of stepping, you're being him. Yeah,
there's no storyline. Save the princess. That's about it. About Ride the Yoshi.
He's just a good dude.
Yeah. He's Italian, you know, he's got a...
Let's go.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I think that you're probably right about that in a lot of ways. I think it depends on the game nowadays, because there are still definitely you know, those games and those game developers who choose to give a character like sort of a blank slate as a personality. But there are also a lot more of those kind of games like you were talking about where you're stepping into a very strong character's like shoes to pretend sort of you're being them for a little while. You're acting as if you were them, and the game is telling you a little bit like where you're gonna go and what you're gonna do.
Right.
So that's cool. You know, I think different people play video games and consume media for different reasons.
Oh yeah.
And so if you're someone that likes to be, you know, creative and solve problems creatively, I think games like the Zelda games are cool because you can, you know, you're solving puzzles and you're sort of crafting the story.
Yeah, I can't do games that are just like one solid like Call of Duty for me would be a little, it's all right, but it's not like I like the fact that I have 30 side quests that I can do in Zelda and like, you know, I don't have to go in one straight line or whatever. So I like that idea that I'm able to do that. So who's your hero, man?
Yeah, I think so recently, in the last year and a half or so, my wife kind of got me into Dragon Ball for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of kids my age, a lot of people my age grew up with Dragon Ball Z, and like loved it as a kid and a lot of people still love it.
Dragon.
And I had the pleasure of experiencing the whole of Dragon Ball Z. And dude, it's awesome, man.
Where did it end? What was the last episode? Was it Boo?
Yeah, Majin Buu was the last big enemy.
Okay, yeah. Dude, Dragon Ball was... It's still one of the most iconic...
Yeah.
You know, cartoons, I think.
Oh, 100%.
For people of our age. Like, I think it really set the bar for heroes.
It really did. And I think that I had a lot of preconceived notions about it because, like, you see, I would like flip through the channels and see it as a kid. And it just seemed like these never ending action scenes of like people yelling and screaming and powering up.
Every single time, you're like, and then they go to the next one.
You know, Spirit Bomb, and he's like collecting energy for like 6 episodes. And you're like, all right, well, is he going
to
throw
it? Come on, Goku. It can't take that long to gather the entire galaxy's energy force.
Right.
You know, come on. Let's figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, all that to say, my hero that I thought of was Goku.
Oh, dude.
Because, oh my gosh, dude.
It's like, crazy. It's crazy, his story arc. Like,
he's so cool.
Yep.
And he's like, the thing I love about Goku, he's like the strongest dude in the room, but he's also like the humblest dude in the room.
Yes.
And he's also like, it's kind of funny. He's comical because he's like a little naive.
Yeah.
You know, and he almost is like always looking at life just so positively.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't get any better.
He doesn't want the craziness of all the enemies coming in. He does want a challenge because in most episodes, he does want to like fight the strongest guy. Like he enjoys that, but he doesn't want it on terms that's like, hey, I'm going to destroy your entire world if you don't fight me.
No, he's always protecting. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so protective of like the people he loves.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Food.
And food.
He loves food. If you think about, listen, he eats a lot in that show. I think it's because obviously he's a Saiyan. He's from a different planet. He's got to eat whatever. But Goku loves food. He loves his wife. He loves his kids. He's such a good role model for kids nowadays just because, you know, granted, he loves to fight and he loves, you know, to do all this stuff. But I think he's got something pure about his character as a whole.
Yeah. It's like this character that's just never can be corrupted by anything. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's never an ounce of bad in him almost. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, people, even though he's the strongest guy, like he doesn't want to hurt anybody. Oh, and it's just like so inspiring. You know, I loved the character of Goku and a lot of characters in Dragon Ball.
I think he would be categorized as a grizzly. I think he is.
Oh, absolutely.
He's definitely up there. And I think I love, probably my favorite is the speech he does with Frieza right before he kills him. Oh. And he's like talking to Frieza and Frieza's like, he goes, okay, Frieza, I'm going to give you the last bit of energy for you to like leave, you know, and survive this planet exploding. So he gives him that last bit of energy, and then Frieza uses it to try to kill him.
Yes.
And then Goku's like, he does this amazing speech, and I can't remember what it is really, but it's like epic. Like he's like,
oh my God,
because you've done this, you know, and then he just goes, and then he obliterates him, you know,
just like the most righteous anger. Yeah. Like,
dude, as a kid, you're watching that, you're like, yeah, I can't wait to go to school, you know, and you get the Dragon Ball Z folders for, you know, for everything. And it's just like, yeah, it's to me, dude, that's an awesome pick, man. Honestly, he's so cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So what do you say? Recall a time that you felt extremely blessed and why?
Man, extremely blessed. I feel like people say the word blessed a lot.
Is it overused? Online.
Yeah, I feel like people do it. You know, people got it in their bio on Instagram. They're always talking about it on Facebook. Yeah. I think a lot of people do kind of say blessed. Oh, just blessed, you know. And I think it's kind of, you know, for us, I guess it takes a different meaning because, you know, we both are Christian. We go to church. We, you know, but I think as a whole, there's times where blessing or being blessed, I think, is not so much in the grandiose big things that happen in your life, like the giant raise or the position change. I think for me, little moments, daily little moments, like when I had, you know, the other day, we put Avery to bed. She went to bed at 7, and we kind of just sat there, and I made myself some hot chocolate. It was really cold that day. And, you know, Renee was like laying on the couch. I was on the couch. We were watching something on Netflix. Oh, the chef show on Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah. And we were just watching the Food Network. And I was just sipping the hot chocolate. And in that moment, I was like, you know what? This is it. This is the extremely blessed moment. And it's not a loud moment.
Yeah.
It's not a moment where you're like, whoa. It's just a normal everyday thing, but then you feel it and it's like, wow, this is it. And it lasted maybe 3-4 minutes, you know, and then you know, you get up, you do something, whatever, but in those minutes you're kind of like, dude, this is it.
Yeah. That's the best, when you can like remember those things throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it just hits you randomly, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, having a bad day and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. you just remember something you're just really blessed by, you know. Oh, it could be worse.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know. I definitely have had those moments, like those small moments. The one that came to mind for me was kind of the opposite end of the scale in terms of just like, it was a really big grandiose moment.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For me, it was our wedding day.
Oh yeah.
Obviously extremely blessed to be marrying, you know, my best friend,
mm-hmm.
and so excited. Like, we've already been talking about it for so long. We're already just so excited to marry.
There's like anticipation.
Yeah, moving in together. We're going on our honeymoon. Like, this is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But even beyond that, which is all the really, really obvious stuff, the thing that I think people don't talk about a whole lot with weddings that really hit me and I thought I wanted to highlight was how blessed I was to have so many people come to this thing was just like 50% for me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, half of it was for my wife, of course, half of it was for me, but really as one unit, you know, these people are all here for like, mm-hmm. for us. And how cool that was. Like, and we didn't have a huge wedding. Like, we had a, you know, I don't know, 150 people, 100 people maybe. It wasn't big. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't super grandiose. It was, you know, I had a friend of ours, like pond and just like a little nice property. I mean, it was sort of a humble wedding, but just seeing these people that came from so far away,
mm-hmm.
and people like, I mean, honestly, dude, like, I showed up to our wedding day and like everything set up and I didn't touch a thing, you know, like, it's just like, people are doing stuff and helping. And like, I know not everybody has, you know, that like has that happen at their wedding day. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, you have to do stuff. I just felt so blessed though that like, mm-hmm. there was this many people that wanted to help me have an amazing day, and how cool that was.
Well, I think that's such a huge part. I think we both have that personality where if someone is doing something for us, I think there's so much more value in that. Like, there's, like, if someone is doing something, going out of their way, and it's almost like any little thing that people do for us is, like, huge. Like, we're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very appreciative, and I've actually gone into, like, the mode of not saying I appreciate it, but more saying I appreciate you. Yeah. Because I feel like appreciate it is more like kind of you appreciate the general thing. But then saying I appreciate you, that's almost cutting to the core of, like, I appreciate you, not just what you did.
You know?
And I think that that's, like, huge in feeling that blessing because, man, people showing up to your wedding, like, you almost, and it's all for you. Like, it's not even, you know, like, it's all for you and your wife, and they're celebrating you guys. There's no other, you know, like, reason they're there.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they are just on your side. They're your cheerleaders. They want to be part of you guys making that commitment. So, dude, that's a huge feeling, you know, and I had it when I got married. It was like, what are you all doing here staring at me?
Yeah,
you know,
like, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I've never had an instance like that where everyone's gathered here for you, you know? Yeah. And like, I don't know, I guess I'm not like the type of person that wants to like throw a big birthday party for myself or like, mm-hmm. I just never really had an experience like that.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to like hug everybody. It was like, there's no time. I was just like, you know, everybody I saw, I'm like, give me a hug.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
just
like, I felt so blessed. It's a whirlwind when you get married. You're like, okay, I think we forgot to eat. Oh, we really didn't have too much food at our wedding either. We did more desserts. We had a later wedding. So it was like, yeah, it was one of those things like we didn't want to feed anyone. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah, keep it cheap.
Yeah, keep it cheap. I think we only spent like $2,000. So
that's pretty impressive these days. Oh, my God. Get a wedding for $2,000, man.
Yeah, man. So that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, so. Hey, that wraps up the quick questions. Woo! So you know what time it is.
Mm.
We're going to talk about righteous reviews.
Righteous reviews.
So the question is, Mauricio, what's your favorite book to read?
Oof.
You talked about how you developed your love of, you know, reading when you were in that, you know, that class.
Oh, and now.
So now I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
All right. Man, I've got so many books. And it's hard to say favorite. It's like picking my children. Like I can't pick just one book. There's a lot of books that shaped, you know, who I was. I think there's one great book and it's called, Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek. He's awesome. He really is kind of like the voice of a lot of, younger generations coming out now. Mm. And he talks about, a lot of leaders that are just in general leaders. They have an issue with putting themselves first whenever it comes to leadership. And so there's managers and there's leaders. And I like to read a lot of books that have to do with leadership only because I think that that's something that there's, you know, the world has lots of people that say they're leaders, but really they're just like managers.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I want to kind of just tell you what to do. You do it. And then that makes me the leader. That's really not what leadership is as a whole. It's more about you making sure other people succeed even at the cost of your own success.
That's cool.
You know, and so like reading that book kind of, I read his other book, Start With Why, which was kind of like an introduction to why do we do things. And so reading those kind of books are probably my favorite only because I want to make sure that in whatever facet of life I'm doing, I want to make sure that if I have a group that I'm leading, I want to lead well. I don't want to just be a supervisor, you know, because I think everybody's had that really annoying person that takes their position a little too seriously.
For sure.
And then they kind of crush your dreams and you're like, all right, come on. Like, we get it. You're the manager. You don't have to act this way.
Yeah, yeah. The supervisor, the manager that like, you know, is more about their own power rather than like empowering you. Like that's like one of those like true mark of a, you know, a good leader is like empowering other people.
Exactly. Yeah. And people are just, you know, so, those are some, like those couple books are great. I love those kind of books that somebody that's coming out of left field says, I need to write a book about how leaders really should behave. And the whole premise of Leaders Eat Last is he's got a guy that he's, a pilot and he is literally sacrificing himself for his other pilots that are flying with him. And so he goes down first into the crossfire to make sure that things are safe for the others to go in.
Wow.
And basically he's saying, you have to be able to sometimes go into the fire for other people so that they can see that you're not just, you know, pretending to be a leader, but you actually are, you're going forward. The whole thing with leadership is that if you're first and you're leading, people are following you. So you're in the front of that line.
Wow, yeah.
You know, a lot of leaders kind of want to like, yeah, you go do it and figure it out. So yeah, those are some of my favorite books, man. I love reading about all that kind of stuff. And then obviously I've read some fictional books, you know, Lord of the Rings is up there.
Yeah.
Narnia, C.S. Lewis. It, you know, some of the Hobbit was awesome. You know, Harry Potter. Oh,
you read all the Harry Potter?
Did dude,
you read
not all? No, I couldn't. I can't get through them all. That's but a lot. I read the first two, and I was like, oh, I'll just watch the movies, because at the time the movies came out, I was like, oh, I'm so lazy. Why? plus, her books are like thick, dude.
Oh, they're dude,
like,
they're mad long. Yeah,
yeah. I'm like, what is this?
I don't know how people. I was like, anytime I like met people growing up that was like, oh, I've read all those books. I'm like, how? How did you do that?
If there's anybody out there that has read all the Harry Potter books, talk to us, because we need to know your secret.
Dude. Yeah, you know, I was gonna say Lord of the Rings.
Oh man,
that cool. I mean, the story of Lord of the Rings in general as a kid was I actually. Well, I saw the movies before I read the books.
Yeah.
So some people are going to be mad about that. Oh, but like then I did read the books and and I loved it. I love the story of the Lord of the Rings. Yes. I love the world that Tolkien created.
Dude, he's
and
so
it goes
good.
So far beyond just the books, you know what I mean? It's like so developed.
Yeah, the fact that he developed a language for the elves, a language for the dwarves, like it just, to me, it's inspiring only because of the attention to detail.
Yeah.
How does your brain work in such a way that you develop these little details? It's almost like Bob Ross. You remember Bob Ross?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. The holy
shout out to Bob Ross.
The Wholesome Trinity.
Yeah, we did post that. People love that one. Where he put the happy little trees, but like the amount of detail. The
detail.
It's painting a picture, and Tolkien definitely did that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's amazing. And I think as I got older and started to care more about other pieces of media and started to like, you know, more like analyze like entertainment and media and stuff, and whether it's movies, TV shows or video games or books or whatever, you realize Tolkien has influenced everything has anything to do with like fantasy worlds or like role-playing video games or anything. I mean, it's all traced back to pretty much like one dude who popularized it in these worlds with these creatures and these elves and dwarves. And dwarves. I mean, it's like it's so crazy and wild how deep the lore of this world he built is. So I just admire the dude's absolute like creativity and like you said, I mean, it's attention to detail.
Dude, and there's such rich history in what he built, and then you get moments where there's humor, you know, and there's little moments where the dwarves understand who they are, and the hobbits, like, they're just hobbits, you know, they don't feel like they can go any further than, past the Shire. And then they do, you know, and they find their way, they get the ring, they do all this stuff. So, Tolkien is such an amazing, and him and C.S. Lewis kind of, you know, they were friends growing up.
Yeah.
And they did write together and stuff. And so to me, it's like there's just a rich history there with Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all that.
Yeah. And then C.S. Lewis being the Narnia books.
And
he wrote a lot of other, you know, even like nonfiction and stuff.
I love, I absolutely love C.S. Lewis and everything that he's written. Even his stuff that's not very popular is amazing. So
yeah, just geniuses almost of their time, you know, just incredible. So
Yeah, man,
that's so cool.
Dude, listen, read The Hobbit if you haven't read it. Read some leadership books. Get out there.
Yeah, books are, it's like, you know, a lot of people are doing audiobooks now too, so.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's an option.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's good stories. So let's dive into our deeper dive, Mauricio.
Deeper dive section.
Yeah, what do you say? We teased this one a little bit last time.
We did, yeah.
So the topic we're going to cover is grisly emotions.
Ooh.
And this includes anything that you would consider just an emotion that's maybe hard to deal with, maybe affects your life in some way. So we're talking about anger, we're talking about anxiety, worry, you know, depression.
Yeah, this is a huge one
for...
you know, for everyone, I think for men specifically, it's hard for us to really dive into this. And I don't think anybody's really takes the time for two guys to really hash this out. So we're going to hash it out.
Let's do it. Let's go where no man has gone.
Before,
never before has this ever been mentioned.
This is gonna get. So if you have your Mountain Dew code red and your Cool Ranch Doritos, buckle up. You know,
strap yourself in. No, but you're right though. I mean, I mean, all joking aside, like a lot of guys don't. I mean, we're stereotypically a lot of guys don't want to talk about depression.
Yeah,
guys don't want to admit that they feel depressed or that they feel anxious. You know, like there's a societal sort of pressure on a lot of men, especially to feel like they have it all together.
Yeah. And there's moments, here's the thing. I think we got to kind of clarify before we, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. A lot of times people have repressed feelings where they're like, oh, I can't be angry. I can't be this. I can't. It's totally okay to feel these feelings. I think the pivotal point of any emotion is when it becomes harmful to you and others. You know, emotions that are kept in and kind of push the boundaries a little bit. That's when, you know, those are the things that we're going to kind of dig into and talk about, because I want us to be able to talk about things, not to feel any kind of way about it, but to say, okay, I feel these things. I know these things are real. How do we handle these emotions? So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Grizzly fam, I mean, we're a family.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's the kind of thing, you know, we family, like it's a support system. I think that the support system thing is one of the big pieces that guys especially struggle with, because the hardest thing to do when you're, you know, a dude and there's a sort of a pressure to like have it all together is to then go talk to another dude who you're worried is going to judge you, you know, who, oh man, he's going to think I'm less of a man. You know, I'm less of an alpha. Like, here's the thing, guys, like
dude,
every person struggles with these things.
The problem
is, there's a reason why women are living longer than men. You know what I mean? Like, typically, nobody get offended, please. Like, we're just generalizing. Like, these, this is not every single person or every single case. But the fact is, you know, traditionally, women have had more of, it's been more societally acceptable for a woman to go talk about her feelings, right? So, like, we got to talk about this. We got to get there.
Yeah. And it's so true, because I think a lot of guys do have some kind of repressed anger, and it also has to do with like your personality type and how you handle things. You know, I think that's why they have the Enneagram test, because you're able to see how you handle trauma, how you handle all these things. But my big thing with anger is that, you know, what are our solutions to deal with anger? So like, you know, first thing happens, you know, say situational thing, you know, a coworker says, hey buddy, why isn't this done yet? You know,
right?
What's our first impulse? You know, and is it quick anger? Is it, why is this person even asking me this? You know, so like, how do we analyze these things? And then if we do get angry, how do we handle that? You know, and so that's kind of where we're trying to pick at, because once you're angry, what do you do? You know, like, what do you do, man, once you're angry? What's something that you kind of chill out and fix, you know, in the moment when you're upset?
Yeah. So, hey, this is I'm challenging myself here with this one, but one of the best solutions I've ever had at times in my life when I felt really angry is exercise.
Oh, yeah.
It's a super practical. Yeah. And listen, nobody wants to hear it. Everybody, whenever I just said that word, everybody's like, don't tell me that exercise.
Some people, there's some people that do.
You're right.
You know, but yeah.
Better men than I. Better people than me, you know.
Better people, man, yeah. But no, there are, exercise is huge.
That's really just like a very practical one, because there's a, you know, there's a lot of biology to it. It's, you know, scientifically, you can look at reasons why it helps you to deal with emotions. Like chemical balances and endorphins or whatever. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but it literally, you can look at
reasons. Don't ever say Tyler's a scientist.
Dude, don't even call me that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I am kind of, but like, you know, in my own way.
You're a podcast scientist.
That's right. Like, I got that down to a science, but
dude.
No.
It's one of those things, like, I don't see a reason not to, one, reach out to other people.
Right.
You know, like, there's been times where I'm upset or you're upset and we'll text each other, we'll talk to each other. There's times where, you know, we feel these emotions coming up. And then you're right, exercise kind of does help, you know. And yeah, I exercise in the mornings before I go to work, and luckily, you know, extremely blessed, I have a gym at my job, so I'm able to wake up, go work out, then shower. And I think that that's an awesome thing, because I'm able to start off the day with all these, you know, endorphins pumping through my brain.
Yeah.
And so everything that happens after that is kind of like, all right, you want to get mad? Cool. I already had my workout, you know, I'm good. You
don't you're like to. The chillest dude in the office, because you're just like, I can handle this. I can handle anything.
Absolutely.
You got a new personal record at the gym. Like, I can do anything.
Dude, 50 page PDF that I need to proofread. Bring it on, you know.
I just did 50 reps of, you know, curls.
That's like, right. I bench pressed 20 pounds. I'm good. You know, so the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing, I think, yeah, it's one of those things. Exercise is huge. I think we talked about coffee, and I think we both love coffee. Coffee, for me anyway, some people drink it and they get all like jittery and stuff. I drink it and it calms me down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really, it amps me up a little bit. It kind of wakes me up a little bit because of the caffeine, but coffee, man, coffee kind of just like cools my mood when it comes to like how angry I am and how to handle that. I drink some and I come to a calm place. I've also been drinking coffee since I'm like 4 years old, so I really shouldn't, you know, like talk about it. But yeah,
you're kind of dependent on it at this
point. Yeah. Don't tell anyone, but yeah, except all of our listeners.
I think knowing like what it is for you. Mm-hmm. And so like, I mean, some of the proven ones, it's, you know, like exercise, we talk about support systems, mm-hmm, journaling. Yeah. Like prayer, you know, mm-hmm, if you're a person of faith, praying, like that, mm-hmm, helps me a ton because I'm getting my feelings out to, you know, just saying it out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The meditation, you know, maybe it's meditation for you. You just need to take a minute, like breathe and breathing exercises.
Breathing's huge. They say that we're not breathing as much as we used to, which is a crazy study. Like they said that we're actually breathing close to almost half as much as we used to, like as a whole, because we're not taking deep breaths anymore.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I know. Like, what? Like, how did we as a society forget to breathe once in a while? I think it's because we're always going, you know? So, yeah, that's a big thing. Breathe more, guys.
Yeah.
Do it.
Listen to music that's uplifting. Mm-hmm. Listen to a podcast, Graceful Grizzly. That's uplifting. You know, something encouraging,
GracefulGrizzly.com. Subliminal message. Anyway, yeah, listen to a podcast.
Watch a show that you've seen 100 times. I don't know why there's something so comforting about watching like The Office for like the 13th time through, right? Like,
yep.
I don't know, man. It's going to be different for everybody, but mm-hmm, I think the big thing is that people, I think I want, you know, we want people to feel like this is a thing that you can talk about with other people. Like, find the right people, find people you trust, and you know, be proactive. Yeah. Don't let this kind of stuff like just settle under your skin for a while, because it's gonna, you know, it's got to come out sometime. So
yeah, I think the biggest thing too is don't let it settle, don't let it stay in your system, in your body, because then it's gonna bottle up and it's gonna come out in ways that you never thought. You know, you're gonna snap at people that are in your life that really love you, that don't really know the full situation, because maybe we haven't communicated it. We've let it, you know, simmer, and then it blows up, and then we try to find reasons why it's that person, but it's not. It's irrational, because you've held those feelings since the beginning of lunch, you know?
Yeah.
And I heard it said somewhere where if you had $1 million and someone stole $10 from you, would you burn the rest of the money? And it's the same way that if we have a full 24 hours and someone for 10 seconds makes you feel bad, are you going to throw away the entire day and feel bad about the entire day?
Wow.
You know, and so are we throwing away an entire day through anger because that one moment where that one coworker said something backwards and we were about to snatch their wig and punch them, you know, because we're like, this is, you know, how dare you not let me print my thing at copier, you know, you know, like, or whatever, you know, whatever little thing that happens at your job. Like, dude, customer, if you're in customer service, if you're in the restaurant industry, if you're anywhere, you know, you got to be a happy go lucky person. And a lot of those people will deal with depression because they have to be on all day, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, you got to get it out somewhere.
Yeah.
Got to do something with that pent up energy.
Yeah.
You know,
exercise, you know, is awesome outlet. And then the other thing too is being able to express your emotions and talk to your friends, and, you know, even on our podcast, like, send us a DM if you are feeling a certain kind of way. Hit the comment section.
Yeah.
You know, find help, reach out. Some of the Instagrams on our page are actually counseling Instagrams. We're really good friends with a lot of counseling Instagrams. So, you know, we know people that will be able to help. You just got to find help.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're the type of person that's like hearing this right now and you're thinking, oh, like, I don't need that, you know, like, you're probably the person that maybe needs to hear it too. Like, just, I want to challenge you guys, because that's what family does. Like, listen, I want everybody to be healthy. You know, and if you're feeling these things, like, definitely do something about it, and just know yourself. Just be self-aware too is a big one. That we talked about, you know, what's a time you felt blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, those little moments of feeling blessed, like, throughout the day, like, that stuff will carry you if you just remember, like, oh, okay, so I didn't get to, you know, I had to pay that parking ticket with my peanut butter. Like, that's a bummer. But here's the thing, guys, like, you have a car.
Yep.
That instantly makes you richer than like three quarters of the world or something.
That's
like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
be thankful, guys. If you've got a house, if you've got a car, if you've got any kind of, you know, friendship and relationship in your life, be thankful for that. You know, be thankful for that, and just be okay with it, you know? So, yeah, man. Well, guys, we have reached,
sadly, the time
end
has
of
come.
Our podcast. Oh, man. That's just,
hey,
it's always a sad moment.
I just want to thank everybody again for hanging out with us. Seriously. You guys are the best.
If you have reached the end of our podcast, listen, we want to mention our Patreon page, and we only do it at the end because
we got to sell you on the podcast first before we can ask for your money.
Exactly. Listen, we have a Patreon. It is full of people that believe in the vision, believe in everything, and really want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And so if you are out there and you think, man, I've got this dollar burning a hole in my pocket,
I would spend this dollar on anything.
On anything, I think. Seriously, send it over to Graceful Grizzly and we will send you a personalized thank you. We're going to throw you up and shout you out. And we really just want to be able to continue doing this podcast. And you guys are a major part of it.
That's right. We'll shout you out just like we shouted out Phil earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are the best. You guys are keeping us going. I'm just continually amazed at how many people are coming out to Instagram and just hanging out with us. So, listen, you guys are an inspiration to me.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you in a little while. And, man, just keep trucking on. Keep doing what you're doing out there. You guys are doing awesome.
Yeah, keep your ears peeled for number 4 coming soon.
Oh, man. All right, guys. See you later.
Rock and roll. See you guys.
Bye.